Kof Hei Mal Cheshvan, Tuesday the 18th of November, Rabbi Shai Kolinsky, Kibbud of Esav style.
We will see some sources on Kibbud Av V'Em. This week's Parsha introduces us to Esav, who is viewed in Chazal as the paradigm example of Kibbud Av V'Em. And we're going to find that he's not the only, what we can term, non-Jew, who is set out as a role model, a very strange thing. So the Torah says, Kabed es avicha ves imecha, l'man yarichun yamecha al adama asher Hashem elokecha nosein lo. That's the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. And then the other pasuk of Yira, Ishimo ve'aviv tirohu, source number two, Ishimo ve'aviv tirohu, ve'shav sosai tishmoru, ani Hashem elokecha. And the Gemara is bothered from the second source, the juxtaposition between the mitzvah of Yira, of parents, and Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Yochel yehei kibud av v'aim docha Shabbos. Famous Gemara, Rashi brings it in Vayikra. I had a hava amina, I had a default position that kibud av is going to docha Shabbos. That parents tell a son, we're out of milk, please go to the supermarket on Shabbos and get milk. Yochel, the default is that kibud av v'aim will be docha Shabbos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want us to go to the store on Shabbos and buy the milk to fulfill Kibbud Av V'Em, even though it's a violation of Shabbos. We need a special pasuk to move us off that position. Talmud Lomar, Ishimo ve'aviv tirohu ve'eshav sosai tishmoru. The juxtaposition teaches us, Kulchem chayovim bichvodi. And that is an amazing Hava Amina. We have Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomin. We know that if God tells us to do something, and another person tells us to do something, if a teacher tells a student to do something, and a kid in the class tells them to do something else, and they listen to the kid, and they come and the teacher says, you're going to be punished. He says, no, but my friend told me to do it. Well, what Hava Amina could there be that we're supposed to listen to parents ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara gives one insight. There are a number of discussions in the Gemara, but the Gemara has one insight here. Salka Daita Chamina, one of the sources for the default is that Hoel Vuhukash Kibud Av V'Em Lichvodo Shel Makom, that there is a comparison, a hekesh, a comparison between Kibud Av V'Em and Kavod HaMakom, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What's the source? Kabed Es Avicha Ve'es Imecha. We're commanded kabeid, and then there's another pasuk in Mishle, kabeid es Hashem mehoncha. We have to honor God from our wealth. So just like there it says kabeid, here it says kabeid. If they are equated, so then there becomes a possibility that we listen to our parents to fulfill kibud av v'aim, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So therefore, kamashmalan delo lishmale. And the Yerushalmi expands on that a little bit and tells us an amazing thing. We don't paskin like this Yerushalmi, but it certainly gives us some insight. Source number five, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Godol hu kibud av v'aim shehedifo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoser michvodo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given an advantage to kibud av v'aim. He's amplified the chiyuv kibud av v'aim beyond his kavod. I'm sorry, this is not this Yerushalmi. We do paskin like there's another. There's going to be the end of it, is what we want. It says, Kabed es avicha ves imecha. And then it says, Kabed es Hashem mehoncha. What's the difference? One is straight, unqualified. Kabed es avicha ves imecha. And the pasuk on Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabed es Hashem mehoncha. You have to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu from your wealth. How do you do that? Mafrish leket shikapeya, mafrish tuma, maiserishin, maisersheni, maiserani, chala osasuka lulav shofar tefillin sifis machalas haraevim. It gives a whole long list of mitzvos. Mitzvos cost money. It's expensive to be an Orthodox Jew, right? And it mentions all of the charities that we have to give: a sukkah, a lulav, a shofar tefillin sifis. These are very expensive things. In yesh lecha, If you have the money for it, atachayev b'cholelu, you have to do it. Im ein lecha, what happens if I don't have money? I don't have money for a lulav, I don't have money for a sukkah, I don't have money for tefillin. Am I mechuyev to schnor money in order to fulfill a mitzvah of lulav? Am I mechuyev to schnor money in order to buy tzitzis? So it says, you're not. Kaberes Hashem mehoncha. There's only one or two mitzvos that a person has to schnor money in order to fulfill. One of them is coming up. Chanukah candles. But that's a chiddush. It's a huge chiddush. That even ani, a poor person, has to sell his shirt or go schnor money for Chanukah candles. But what do you see from that? That other mitzvos we don't. So Kaberes Hashem mehoncha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands honor from you only if you have the money. Aval kibud avayim vein sheyesh lecha vein shein lecha kaberes avicha vesimecha afilu atam esabed al hapsachim. So this is the part of the Yerushalmi that's a big chiddush. We don't paskin like this part of the Yerushalmi, but according to the Yerushalmi, a child has to go beg money. If the father doesn't have money and the son doesn't have money, he has to go beg in order to fulfill mitzvahs kibud avayim. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that kibud avayim is mishel av, that the son has to spend the time and the effort, but the money comes from the father. But the Yerushalmi holds that even though you don't have to schnor money for other mitzvos, you have to schnor money for kibud avayim. So we see here almost a mismatch between kibud av va'eim and kavod av HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the practical aspects of it, and in the theoretical aspects that without a special pasuk, I would have given the nod to kibud av va'eim over fulfilling a specific mitzvah. This is an amazing thing. And here's the next amazing thing, is we have our role models for kibud av va'eim. So one role model is this week's Parsha. Esav is a role model for kibud av va'eim. And where do I have the other one?
Six.
Yes, bo minei mirahula, ad heichan kibud av va'eim. Ad heichan kibud av va'eim is not asking for minimum standards. It's asking for how far you have to go. Ad heichan, how far does it have to go that a person has to be mekayim kibud av va'eim? And the answer is, famous story, tzu, we've heard the story of Dove ben Nesina. Pamachas bikshu chachamim prakmatia bishishim ribuschar. They wanted to make a business deal with Dove ben Nesina, 600,000 coins. Hayam avtech munach tachas merashosav shel aviv. And the key to the safe in order to do the deal was under the pillow of his father, and his father is sleeping. Velot siro, and Dove ben Nesina didn't disturb him, didn't wake him up, and he lost the business deal. That's what's expected for kibud av va'eim, and we're using the role model as Dama ben Nesina. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Sholu Rav Elazar Ad Heichan Kibud Av Va'eim. Another story. The other story was that he had the jewels that they needed for the ephod, for the kohen gadol, and it was also 600,000 coins. And there was another opinion, 800,000. Hayam avtech munach tachas merashav shel aviv velot siaro, and he didn't disturb it. So, why, asks the Maharal in the next source, why are our role models Esav and Dama ben Nesina? We couldn't find better than that. There are the paradigms. So says the Maharal in source number 7. Biur inyan zeh. Hachachamim ha'elu bo levaer ad kama haseichel mechayev mitzvah zos. The mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'eim, says the Maharal, is a mitzvah that is logically compelling. It comes from Seich. It's something that a person understands on their own. Ki mitzvah zos bifras mechayev osadas asechel sheichabe da'odam horov sheheviu oso la'olam. Parents that brought the children into the world, logic dictates that the parents receive appreciation, that the child has appreciation. It's reasonable and it's logical. We'll talk in a minute about why it seems so unfulfilled today in the broader world and why nobody thinks it's so logical. We're going to see why in a few minutes. But the Maharal says that's certainly a logical, compelling reality of appreciation to those who brought you into the world. Vilafika. So dafka, we draw our lesson from the non-Jew, from the idol worshipper. The idol worshiper doesn't say, I'm doing it because God commanded me to do it. Why does he do it? He does it because it's logical. And the lesson here is how logical it is. And the Maharal explains in another place, is that we Jews, we don't do mitzvahs because they're logical. We frequently act very illogically. We're not always such a logical people. When we do a mitzvah, we do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do it. We don't do it just because it's logical. Where does the Yetzer Hara come in a much stronger way? The Yetzer Hara comes in when we're told we have to do it. So doing things that are logical, we don't have such a problem with it. And the Goy does it very well. We don't do it quite so well because we're doing it as a mitzvah, and mitzvah always has a resistance of the Yetzer Hara. But we're going to need to explore why is this so logical and why has it fallen apart today. So there's a Gemara and a Medrash that tells a story built on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Yoducha Hashem kol malchei eretz, that all the kings have given acknowledgement or praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki shamu imrei ficha, because they heard the statements of your mouth, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. And the Medrash, the Gemara and the Medrash are going to pick up on the plural, imrei ficha. What are the plural things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that led kings of the world to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Medrash and the Gemara makes it in a much more truncated version. The Medrash expands it a little bit. Each one brings its own dimension to it. But we'll see it in the Medrash. When the nations of the world heard me, Piagodesh Borchu, Andu Mikisos Vahodu, they stood up and they gave praise. What happened? Bishosh and Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Yisrael. I'm in the second line of source 9. Bishosh and Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Yisrael. The Omar Hashem Elokei, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So what was the reaction of the kings of the world when they heard that God commanded the Jews, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So Omru Malchei Umos HaOlam Zekamonu. He's doing it exactly the way we would do it. Every king wants that he should be the exclusive authority. So when God says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he's creating a political manifesto where he wants loyalty to him as the exclusive king. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo yelecha Elohim acherim, Amru Eze Melech Rotze Shielo Shutef. No king wants that there should be a competitor. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo tisa, don't take my name in vain, they said the same thing. No king wants that the people of the country should be lying in his name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, B'shoah Omer Zochar Shom HaShabbos. Even when he said Zochar Shom HaShabbos, the king said, yes, that's a reasonable setup for society. I'm sure many of you here remember blue laws. Blue laws. It was illegal to open, well, in America they called it blue laws. Maybe there was a different name here. But I'm sure it used to be illegal to open a store on Sunday. Sunday trading was illegal. Right? Well, because the society understands we need a day off. There should be a day off for the society. So when the kings heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded for a day off, in quotation marks, Shabbos, so they said, yeah, that's exactly how we would do it if we were setting up our society. Right? And then, now comes the crunch. Now comes the unexpected point. Aval. In the Hebrew, I'm on the third to the last line, and in source 8, I'm in the last line. If you want to follow in the Gemara, either way. Now the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, honor parents. Amru, the reaction of the kings to that was, Binimosos Shelonu, in our culture, Kol mi shemachtiv es atzmo sigrun lamelech, anybody who declares loyalty to the king, who kofer bavosov, he has to deny his loyalty to his parents. Right? Nazi Germany, communist Russia, kids turned their parents in. If you bought into the system, and your parents didn't, so you just turned them in. There was no loyalty to parents if you declared loyalty to the king. And the Omer, but this God is saying, kabed et avicha v'et imecha, he's commanding the children to have loyalty to parents? Something is wrong here. Something's going on here. Amdu mikisos v'hodulo. That's when they stood up and they acknowledged that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating is not a political system, but there is something transcendent and divine about this king and about the system that he's setting up. Says the Maharal, source 10, to elaborate on this medrash. L'chovet atzma hu dorish. Hayu svurim ha'emes. They thought in reality, she'en ha'torah, shehu yizbarach nosen l'Yisrael, the Torah that God is giving to the Jewish people, it doesn't have yedios amitus mitzad atzma. It's not giving you absolute truth. Right? It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh b'avodoso. God, the king, wants people to serve him. And af al gav shehayu modim sheroi lo'odo, they say, yes, it's not unreasonable that a king should want subjects to serve him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the people who he's the king over to serve him. And he deserves that. That's okay. But hayu omrim shedvarim asher nosin li'Yisrael enu yedias ha'emes. But this is an objective truth. It's not objective reality. This is the way a society or a culture or a kingdom should be set up, in the way that the subjects serve the king. Ad sheshamu dibur kavedes avicha, till they heard that fifth commandment of honoring parents. The Amru, Im Kain, if he's demanding from the children to honor parents, so then divrei Hashem yidbarach b'shvil ha'emes. And there must be some absolute truth here. There must be some divine truth going on here. And not just that. God wants them to be served, wants himself to be served. So that made them realize that God is a different kind of a king than the regular human king. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanding to honor parents, so that says something different about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his being a king. Now they acknowledged and admitted that even the earlier commandments were not political manifestos, but the earlier commandments were also something objective and divine. How do we understand this? So, we go back to the idea of Kibud Av Va'Em being the natural order. That was one of the Maharal's theses to explain why Esav and Dama ben Nesina are the role models. We certainly don't see that as the natural order today. So there's a famous story with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's out. It's in the book on Rabbi Yaakov. I'm not sure that I'm going to tell it exactly the way it's in the book. I heard it over from the grandchildren. But the basic details are the same. Rabbi Yaakov was coming to Eretz Yisrael for a wedding. He was being flown in, and he was given a first-class ticket. And one of his sons and granddaughter were accompanying him. They were in coach. But because Rabbi Yaakov was an elderly person, so the stewardess was letting the son and the granddaughter come back and forth, which they usually don't do, to attend to Rabbi Yaakov. How are you doing? Is everything okay? Back and forth, spend some time with him. And Rabbi Yaakov in first class was sitting next to the head of the Histadrut, the labor union. What used to be the most powerful political force in Israel back in the 60s and 70s. And the head of the Histadrut was also flying first class. I don't think he was given a free ticket by the person that he was flying for, but he was on the company expense account. And he was an elderly gentleman also already. And in the middle of the flight, he leans over to Rabbi Yaakov and says, "I'm astounded. I'm astounded at how your son and your granddaughter are coming, paying so much attention to you. I can't imagine this." And Rabbi Yaakov says, "Why, what would happen if your son, your grandson was in the plane? Were you? He wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. I'm an old fogey. I'm an old man. They don't want to have anything to do with me. How do you explain this?" So Rabbi Yaakov says, "You teach your kids that you have evolved from a monkey. So you are two generations closer to the monkey than your grandchildren. And your grandchildren are two more generations of progress. So why in the world would they look at you with this kind of kavod and think that there's anything special? They have progressed. You're two levels closer to the monkey. We teach our children that we stood at Sinai, and we had divine revelation, And then things went on from there. So I'm two generations closer to the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than my granddaughter. And that's how she looks at me. That's how she relates to me. When the Torah wants to teach us that the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu trump Kibud Av Va'Em, the need to even teach that to us, the Torah shows a specific mitzvah. Remember, the whole lesson came from the juxtaposition. Ishimo v'aviv tirau v'lo tilbash shatnez. Could have said that. Right? Ishimo v'aviv tirau and put a mezuzah on your door. If the juxtaposition is what's teaching it to me, so that's all they need. Why did they choose specifically Shabbos as the mitzvah that we're going to use to teach that mitzvos trump Kibud Av Va'Em? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that is a facade of nature in 6 days, and He created a purposeful world, and then He created a human being who had the highest level of potential perfection, only a little lower than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tatzireu me'at me'elokim. That was the original creation. And then it's been downhill all the way. But we parents represent now in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. But Shabbos teaches us, every Shabbos we make a declaration that the world has a creator. It didn't just happen. It's not just random. And that it's purposeful. The idea of random evolution means that the world just happened and it is purposeless. So now, if everything is random and everything is purposeless, how could a child be expected to express appreciation to parents who brought him into the world when the whole system is random, purposeless? And there's another chiddush that has come in to the culture, and that is of selfishness, that nobody does anything if they don't have a personal egocentric agenda. The idea of altruism has been lost. So if you look at a parent and your attitude is, whatever they did for themselves, even having children, they must have had an agenda. And the fact that I was born is random. And the fact that I'm in the world is purposeless. Hard to initiate any kind of appreciation for that. And that's why Kibud Av Va'Em today has been so lost. Is we have an idea of a world without a purpose. Again, when I say we, I'm talking the world at large. The world is random, the world is purposeless, and therefore why in the world do I owe any appreciation to parents? What is our perspective? The world has a purpose, it has a creator. Those two principles are embodied in Shabbos, that every week we declare that the world was created in 6 days, and that there is a creator, and that there is a purpose heading towards a goal. That's Shabbos. And now a person is brought into the world. He has the ability to fulfill that purpose. And he owes appreciation to the parents who brought him in, enabling him to fulfill that purpose. Parents are really the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that game. Because what they're saying, if we owe our parents appreciation for giving us life and enabling us to fulfill a purpose, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and the appreciation that we owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely greater. But it has to start with a recognition of appreciation to something tangible, to something that we can relate to. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes demands on us, it's not quite as tangible as when a parent makes a demand on a child. Could make lots of excuses for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the parent's standing there, it's a very tangible thing whether the child is going to listen or not, going to appreciate or not. One of the things that changed We'll go back now to Dama ben Nesina. It's interesting that it says that Dama ben Nesina was an Akum, an Ovei Kochavim. Now, Ovei Kochavim, certainly in those days, we have a different kind of Avodah Zarah today. In those days, they also believed that the world had control and had purpose and had powers. It wasn't atheistic. It wasn't there's no God and there's no purpose. Just they got the wrong God and the wrong purpose. So therefore, it was very reasonable and very logical for them to appreciate the fact that they had life and parents gave them that life. That's what the Maral means when he says it's the seichel is mechayev. Once you realize that you were brought into this world through a decision of somebody else, you appreciate, you have to have an appreciation. Let's see one last source, and then we'll try to sum it up. This is what we just said now is embodied in this last source. Tana Rabbanan, source number 11. Shlosha shutfim heim ba'adam. Person has three partners in his creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv v'Imo. There are three beings who play a role in bringing the human being into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, father and mother. Bizman sha'adam mechabed es aviv es imo. When a person acknowledges and appreciates and is mechabed his parents, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ma'ale ani aleim kilu darti beineim v'chibdu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I equate that with me being there and them honoring me. This is really the line in the Gemara that summarizes what we're saying. This is why there would have been a default that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been willing without a special pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, you know what, I'll forego one fulfillment of a mitzvah in order for you to fulfill Kibud Avaim. Because Kibud Avaim is the root of all mitzvahs. Kibud Avaim is the recognition of us being brought into the world purposefully and requires a response of appreciation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to make that point globally, there was a default that for any specific mitzvah, he might have foregone it if that's going to concretize Kibud Avaim. He said no, because kulchem chayavim b'chvodi, the parents aren't allowed to make that demand. That's the only reason why we don't listen to them. They're not allowed to make the demand. But the principle is there. The principle is that the demands of parents on children have to be treated as demands that are eliciting appreciation, that are eliciting service. It's a question, do we appreciate the fact that we were given life as a gift? Or do we say, no, it doesn't happen and I'm entitled to it and I don't owe anybody appreciation because everybody has an agenda. Kibud Avaim acknowledges that man is not entitled to life, but that he has been given it as a gift, and he appreciates the giver of that gift. And both as parents, we need to engender that to our children. Sometimes we're a little hesitant as parents to demand Kibud Avaim. But we have to realize that it's our responsibility to educate. Not because I'm the boss and you gotta listen to me. But that we're in a world where life is a gift. It's for a purpose. You have potential to fulfill that purpose. Parents are the source. And they stand as a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledging the responsibility to serve and to fulfill the purpose for which we were brought into the world.